Third week of the month, it's December, our final show of 2019 in Bloomington. It's actually our final show of 2019 because, as I have indicated to you before the show, we're not going to go see Mayor Greg Goodnight next week because it's the holidays are
Christmas.
Coming up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard
good to see you again, Joe.
Good
Welcome.
To see you. Just speaking of Mayor Goodnight, he's finishing his final term as mayor. He did not run for re-election. Did you ever have a chance to work with him or talk with him?
I did. I've gotten to know Greg a little bit over the past 4 years. He's been very helpful and kind to me. He was a more veteran mayor, and I've stopped in to see his office in Kokomo, and we did a joint windshield tour through Evansville that was a lot of fun, looking through the city and talking about it. And he's a talented guy, and I want to congratulate him on his excellent leadership up in Kokomo.
You just announced Tuesday the city's intention to fund the Enright East Active Living Community Center. So it's been a success.
It was. You know, Joe, we did this pilot 6 months long in the mall. The Simon Mall was a very great collaborator with us, and we worked with the Area 10 Agency on Aging, IU Alzheimer's Group, and some others, and said, let's see what happens if we open a senior center for 6 months. Well, you know what? Seniors showed up, and hundreds of them showed up. So it was a big success, and we just announced today we're going to continue it through 2020. And I think all expectations are we really want to keep building on that. It's been a very popular place for lots of people to be.
I wanted to get just a quick follow-up on a couple, I think you call them RFI, so Request for Information.
Yes.
And for those who don't know what RFIs are, for a team of planners, architects, designers for a master planning. This is for the IU Health Bloomington Hospital site, about 24 acres that you've been working on for quite a long time now. I believe the deadline for responses is Thursday. So have there been any interest as of yet?
Well, we're getting questions from numbers of firms around the country, actually, the state, region, country. This is going to be a big 2020 this year for the reuse planning for that wonderful opportunity of redoing 24 acres. It's really 48 acres because there's medical zoning around that. And I tell you, a city doesn't get the chance to do this more than once a century. I don't know. I mean, to have that, the chance to say, what do we want to be like in that place over the next generation? So 2020 is going to be full of a lot of planning with the community. And we're using an outside architecture firm that we will be selecting to help run that process, help us imagine what could be done there.
So hopefully you'll have some submissions by Thursday, but nothing that you know of as
nothing
of
yet. But we expect we'll get a few, and then I think early in 2020 we'll be announcing who the partner will be, and that'll kick off a bunch of public engagement.
Sure. And this is not to be confused with the consultants that were hired beforehand for the land study.
Right.
That's a separate issue. That was more to guide the city in where this should go.
We had a discrete process with the Urban Land Institute that you may be referring to, where we brought them in actually last year to spend a week with us. And this is a volunteer group through the Urban Land Institute, a big national nonprofit, that comes in just this kind of circumstance and brings people in. They interviewed over 100 people locally and said, what do you think we can do? And they presented a very good starting point, baseline report for opportunities and options for the reuse of the hospital. But this year, in 2020, we'll be digging into real details of what can we do there. It's going to be very exciting.
There was another request for information for a developer for a mixed-use development next to Switchyard Park,
yep.
The current site of where Night Moves is now. Those requests were due December 9th. So were there any interest there?
We had numbers of requests. I actually don't know the number, but I know we got several. We're looking for a partner who can redo that site with private investment to bring in, as you said, mixed use. It's you know, we have a new beautiful park. I hope everybody gets down there and enjoys it. Even in the winter, it's really fun to visit. And the winter market is there every Saturday morning, and skate parks are going all the time. And we're not opening the fountain and the splash pad yet. That'll be in the spring, but go on down there. But one of the things about a big park like that is we want to look at what can develop around it so more people can live at the park and enjoy the park. And this is a first step in that. So we've had a number of submissions, and we'll be reviewing those over the next weeks.
Do those become public record of sorts where people can look at
that
process?
They do generally, yes. I think it's probably already public record. I just haven't seen it yet. But and then ultimately will pick a partner. The Redevelopment Commission technically owns the land, so they kind of run that process, but those are all at public meetings that they do and try to find the right partner.
So let's get an update on the convention center. So for the first time in a while, it seems like things are progressing. There are steps that are happening and things are moving. So just kind of quickly see if I'm right of where we're at right now to kind of fast forward. So the city and the county are saying, okay, we agree on a CIB. So now that needs to be put together with each side appointing six total. Those six will pick a seventh person. And the city council has forwarded, is it $6.4 or $6.3 million for the design process once the CIB has been formed?
99 out of 100 on that show. You're really close. Right. You're right. I mean, one, this is hard to follow this big project.
Yeah.
I like to
yeah.
say we're through phases one and two. Phase one was, are we going to build this? And we passed tax in 2017 to finance it. That was a two-year process. Phase two was, find the partners, the architects, the advisors, the attorneys, et cetera, and do the initial site planning on what we're going to do. That completed summer this year. Phase three, a critical phase, is actually design it and build it. That's probably a three-year phase, and we are now, I think, getting ready to kick that phase off. It's taken a few months. It's been a little frustrating, I know, to watch. I know I've been a little frustrated on some of the delays, but I think we're now at a place where we can move forward. So as you said, a capital improvement board is in the offing. That's a county-created entity, but the city and the county are kind of locked together to say, let's do this equally. So the 313 membership to be named. We've got some details to work on. It's kind of like a merger. We're merging money, land, management, all that. And so there's some details to work out. But I'm confident we will. And in the first quarter of 2020, we should really see some activity kicking up.
So how does the process now move forward on the city picking their three and the county picking their three for the CIB?
Some of those details are still being worked out exactly how, but I expect it'll be done in the next couple weeks. And then that capital improvement board will really kind of take over the reins in managing the process, in selecting and overseeing the design work. We have a great architect partner finalizing the site plan, working with hoteliers, overseeing what is really a three-year design for a year, build for 2 years, cut the ribbon. And phase four is operate. That's what we're aiming for.
And the CIB will look over all of that.
They will.
And these are not elected officials. These have to be non-elected officials, and there have to be not all members of the same political party.
You can't have more than four out of seven of one political party. That's right. Under state law, these are state requirements.
So I've been to some of these meetings, and I know you said you were frustrated. There seems to be this some kind of disconnect between the mayor's office, the county commissioners. City Councilman Volin said at one point during a meeting, there's an elephant in the room. I don't know if you want to address the elephant in the room. What's going on between maybe yourself and the commissioners? Is there a feud? Is there something going on?
No, I mean, it's interesting hearing people talk about the original convention center 25 years ago, and we forget it, but there were a lot of complications and stress and difficulties when 100 different people had to sign on to a project. So it's complicated. Each of us as an elected official has a responsibility. I have a responsibility to the city funding that's coming through here to make sure that we think it's going to be used well and appropriately. The county has historically operated and overseen the convention center, so this is a shift for them to open it up to city participation. Cities and county governments do different things. We intersect. We collaborate enormously every day, from our streets departments to the animal welfare department to the building departments and all kinds of ways. But you know, this is kind of like a merger where two different entities have to figure out the details of, or a marriage, you could say, of whose property's going where and who's going to do the dishes and who's going to take the trash out and who's going to put the kids to bed. And, you know, I mean, we have to work out a lot of those details, but we'll get there.
I wanted to see if there are any updates on the eminent domain and the annexation, two different things, but anything new?
Both in the courts.
Right.
So the annexation lawsuit, which we won at the trial court level, that said the state legislature violated the Indiana Constitution when they stopped our annexation. That will have a Supreme Court oral argument on January 9th. So the second week of January, the Indiana Supreme Court will sit and we'll hear the arguments about that case, and we look forward to that and hope we prevail on that. We'll find out, I expect, in a few months, probably. The eminent domain suit is also in court, in the local courts, and we're really just waiting for the local judge to rule on that lawsuit. And we're both waiting there, and the garage is ready to go up as soon as we can.
Yeah, you drive by, the land is ready to go, doesn't it?
I know.
Let's talk ahead a little bit to January 9th. That's just the hearing. You won't hear
that's
any.
Right.
Result from that, but if the judge does rule in your favor, is there a plan, an action plan, ready to move forward with annexation, or where would you be on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's all kind of uncharted territory. We've never had anything like this before in the state, frankly, or certainly locally. So if we prevail and the Supreme Court agrees that that law was unconstitutional, then I think, though we don't know, I think what will happen is we'll kind of roll back the clock to where we were in the annexation process and pick that up. It'll take a lot of discussion and collaboration with those who've been involved, from city council to county and all the interested parties. It could depend how they rule. They might, you never know exactly what they might say. So we're really waiting to hear from that. And maybe we'll find out some things at oral argument by what kind of questions they ask. But hopefully that will be resolved, and we'll be able to go forward one way or the other.
Let's switch over to the city-run farmers market. Is it time for privatization?
So the farmers market had a really interesting and challenging 2019, as many of us know. We had lower attendance at the market because of stress and protests and difficulties. I will say it actually turns out that the prepared food vendors sold as much this year as they did the year before in terms of sales. We know some vendors, other vendors, had difficulty. Some did well and some didn't do as well. This is a 45-year-old city market. We're really proud of it. We will spend the next few weeks continuing to listen to people's ideas about it, how to move forward with it, changes that should be made. Privatization has been considered. I think, as you know, I've said I don't lean toward privatization. This is a major public venue. It's a major place where the community comes together. It's a symbol in a lot of ways for Bloomington. But I know there are people who feel that symbol has been damaged in different ways. I personally hope that we can restore it to what it has been and should be, which is a welcoming, inclusive market that represents Bloomington in our values. But we got some work to do. Ultimately, the decision is actually made by the Parks Board, a group of four non-elected people who oversee the park system. And as this is a parks program, early in January, we expect them to kind of have in front of them recommendations from me and from the Parks Department to recommend what to do going forward.
It's interesting. We had a reporter at one of those forums, and there was an IU professor who said the city can control hate speech as long as it's done across the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the questions has been, why do we control protests in the market? And can we do that? And yes, we can. I think what that professor was saying, if you're controlling speech, and I'll talk about that in a second, if you're controlling speech, you have to do it in a neutral way. You can't favor one type of speech over another. Government doesn't get to pick which speech we like. We can do things called time, manner, and place restrictions, where we can say, in the market proper, we don't allow signs, for example. We just have to apply that to everybody with signs, not just to certain kinds of signs.
Well, it's the last show of the year, and it's been quite a year. If you think about all the things we've talked about, these updates, Farmers Market, 4th Street Garage, Annexation, Convention Center. How do all of these ordeals shape you as a mayor day to day?
Look, I love this job. It's a job where you get to, somebody described it as being everybody's neighbor in town. You hear from everybody what they think about the community, what they hope for about the community, sometimes what they're worried about for the community. So this is a community full of energized and energetic and creative and caring people. And the community, you know, we're in a world that's changing. We're in a country that's challenging sometimes. But I love the fact that everyone in Bloomington cares deeply about this place. We talk about what it should look like next week, next year, next century. We have challenges ahead of us with climate change. We have challenges with housing and affordability. We have challenges with the new economy. And all of those are in front of us. I'm really proud of what the community's done over 2019 and frankly the last 4 years to move forward. And I'm excited about new challenges, continuing momentum, but mostly it's just this big kind of neighborhood talk about who we want to be and what we want to be like, and that's a great thing to be part of.
Was there anything else that you'd like to mention? Any announcements?
I just wish everybody a great holiday season. It's a time for family and friends and looking back and looking forward, and I hope everybody can have a safe and happy holiday season.